where the rubber meets the road. That's where the Bible Bus is headed as we continue our exciting adventure through God's entire Word. Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz. And as you turn in your Bible to Isaiah 23, Greg Harris is here with a special word of thanks for those who faithfully support this ministry in prayer.
And we are so grateful. Whether you're on our World Prayer Team or not, if you pray for this ministry, you are part of the prayer team, and we just thank you for that. The reason about 10 years ago that we started the World Prayer Team was so many people were saying, we're praying, and we just thought it would be helpful to really focus and join together in a sense of camaraderie.
Yep.
But if you pray for Through the Bible, thank you. That is the power of God's Word. And the power of prayer are the only real explanations for why we're in existence.
Yeah. And I will say that we do kind of consider the members of the World Prayer Team as kind of being Gideon's army for
us. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you would like to join the elite prayer warriors, that's fine that you pray for us and we're thankful. But if you really want to commit, join the World Prayer Team.
Right.
Go to ttb.org/pray, sign up today. You'll get that Monday through Friday email. It'll transform you going through your inbox.
Yeah. And while we don't like to harp on numbers, we are thrilled that over 16,000 people have said, I'm in. I'm part of the World Prayer Team. And we don't offer anything in exchange for that. We just say, give us your email and we will send you prayer requests. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yep. So here's some World Prayer Team stories. First, we've got one from Sharon. To the entire team all over the world, it is so awesome to hear God's word each day and receive the World Prayer Team emails. Thank you for that, Sharon. The joy of steadfast faith and unfolding faith of my brothers and sisters around the world is an important part of my life. To absolutely know that someday I will get to meet our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, and all of these dear souls here on earth in the great cloud of witnesses is awesome beyond words.
Wow. Very powerful testimony. Thank you, Sharon. Now, Georgia here in California writes, I've been listening to you since the mid-1970s.
Wow.
And on the World Prayer Team for quite a while now. I often cry and laugh with joy from the responses around the world. But this morning's response from Yemen overwhelmed my heart so that I could not contain my cries. Reading the questions, is Jesus Christ real? Does he still live? Can I talk to him? I was overcome with a feeling of heart connection to this listener and thanking the Lord for his mighty creative work in reaching the whole world for Christ. I praise God for you and often tell others why they should tune in. I've been sharing your Bible Bus passes. When I'm at a restaurant or store, I will say I'd like to share my card with you, then explain that they can listen to the Bible and know God. The responses to these cards have been positive. May God continue to bless you all and those who listen to Through the Bible until our Savior returns.
Mm. Georgia, thank you so much for being so faithful. And I understand what you're saying about getting those emails and hearing those testimonies. And I think I remember that testimony from Yemen.
Mm.
Just a huge encouragement, knowing that there are brothers and sisters that are receiving this email and praying and having the same reaction as well is an encouragement. So thank you for that. Let's continue now. We've got Steve from Chicago who shares this. I caught myself humming Jesus Paid It All and thought, where did I hear that? Of course, it's your closing song. Thanks for putting truth and songs in my head that comes back to me in unsuspecting moments. I'm on the prayer team, doing my part, knowing God does it all anyway. Keep sending the stories. I share them. Everyone is amazed. They ask, where is that from? And then I give them a bus pass.
That's great. We got two great ideas for sharing bus passes.
Yeah. Greg, quickly pray for us as we begin our study.
Father, we thank you for the thousands of people that are going around the world on their knees and supporting this ministry. We thank you that you're answering. Thank you that your word is faithful. And we pray that it would change us today as we study it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we're off to Isaiah 23 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, here in chapter 23, we come to the last burden. This is the 11th, and it's the last burden. And the burden, as we've seen, is a judgment. And these have been against the nations that were round about Israel. And each one of these great nations represents or sets before us some great principle or a philosophy or a system which God must judge. And you can translate and transfer these, many of these from those nations, and most of them long since disappeared, and put them right down where you and I live today, right down where the rubber meets the road. Then let me give a recapitulation of these 11 nations now and what they represent. And by the way, this one in chapter 23 is Tyre, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. But first we had Babylon. Babylon represents false religions, idolatry. That today is covetousness. That is this overweening desire to have more and to give yourself to that, to the accumulation of the material things of this world. And then the second was Palestine. That represents true religion that has become apostate. And today, you find many churches, they go through a ritual. They'll even repeat the Apostles' Creed. They'll also repeat the Lord's Prayer. My, you'd think that they are resting right upon the Bible. And then you will find out they're denying everything that's in it, now standing away from what they once believed. And now the third nation here is Moab, and that represents a formal religion. That is, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And many of us today can be identified with one of these. Some of us are giving our lives to the accumulation of material things, and our eyes just filled with things that we want. We are covetous. And then there are others that actually have been probably brought up in maybe a Bible-believing church, but you've turned away from that today. And the others of you that belong to a system that you go through a lot of form and ceremony and a ritual, and it's beautiful. But that's all. It's as dead as a dodo bird. And then the fourth nation here was Damascus. That represents compromise. And that's the position that most churches are in today, by the way, a position of compromise. Many so-called fundamental churches are in that position of compromise, and thank God for those that are standing true. Then Ethiopia was the fifth nation that there was a judgment. That represents missions. And thank God we need to get involved there. Then Egypt is the sixth one. That represents the world. And we're told to love not the world, the things that are in the world. And Israel was told to stay out of Egypt. That's where Abraham got into trouble. And Israel's having a little trouble in that direction today. And many of us are having trouble with the world. And now we have the seventh judgment is against Persia. Well, that represents luxury. And my, how most of us love that today in this affluent society. The eighth one is Edom. That represents the flesh. And a lady that wrote in that was in her early days. That's the direction that she went. Many serve the flesh today. The ninth one is Arabia. That represents war. And today, there are two groups of people, those that are the hawks and the doves. And the only difference I can see between these two groups, because they're both of the world, the peace group, they're for peace, but they're willing to fight for it. And then you have the tenth one, that's the Valley of Vision. It was Jerusalem, and it actually represented, instead of religion, politics. And some think that that's going to be the solution to the problems of the world. Now we come to the 11th, Tyre here. That represents commercialism, big business. And I would say the great sin of America today, commercialism. There are people today that believe that the almighty dollar can solve the problem. And when any problem comes up today, Congress votes a little bit more money. And the people it's meant for never get it, of course, because every program for poverty has hurt the poor rather than helped the poor so far. Why? Because godless men just can't do it, my friend. There's only one. And the poor haven't learned it yet because they're far from God. That only the Lord Jesus Christ has any love for the poor and really knows how to help them. Now we come here to Tyre, though, and let's look at it. Tyre and Sidon were the two great cities of the Phoenicians. Sidon actually was the mother city, and it was soon surpassed by her proud and rich daughter, Tyre. The ships of the Phoenicians, they entered all the ports of the Mediterranean Sea. They even penetrated the uncharted ocean beyond the Pillars of Hercules, and the vessels of Phoenicia brought tin from Great Britain. In fact, the meaning of Britannia is the land of tin. And then the Phoenicians were aggressive and also a very progressive people. Carthage in North Africa was settled by them. Carthage, the great enemy of Rome, was a Phoenician city. And Cyprus owed its prosperity to trading with Tyre. And then there were other centers that they had founded. And you remember that Jonah went over to Tarshish. Well, where's Tarshish? On the southern coast of Spain. Who started it? Well, the Phoenicians did. And the Phoenicians are the one who invented the alphabet. Hiram, king of Tyre, was one of the great friends of King David. And when we get to Ezekiel 26, we're going to see one of the most remarkable prophecies in the Word of God concerning Tyre. And in that, we'll see that God made a prophecy that the city would be destroyed by Babylon, and they would go into Babylonian captivity 70 years, just as the southern kingdom went into captivity 70 years. And then these people returned as Israel did, and the city was rebuilt on an island out from the old city. And God had said that they're going to scrape the ruins of Tyre. Now, who in the world's going to do that? Well, Alexander the Great, when he came to power, came along. He's not about to fight Tyre with ships because they were expert in ships. So he built a causeway out there. I've walked down that causeway. And you know what it's filled with? I could have filled a tub, number two tub, with pieces of pottery that I saw along there. But you were not to get them. But I did put one piece in my pocket because it looked to me like they had plenty to spare. Where did all that pottery come from? Where did all those pillars come from? They came from the ruins of ancient Tyre because Alexander the Great, making the causeway, scraped the surface of the old city. You couldn't even tell where it is today. It's all out there in the causeway, and Alexander took the city. Literally fulfilled just as God said it would be. And God said this in Ezekiel 26:14, I'll make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now, there's a little place, a little Turkish town right near there, but this place, Tyre, is still in ruins today. You want to disprove the Word of God, atheistic? Friend, and I call you a friend because you're a candidate for salvation, may I say this to you very candidly. Don't just stand on a street corner and blabber about you don't believe in God. Disprove His Word. Go over there today and rebuild Tyre. Now, I'm very interested in telling you, though, that that's been tried before. In fact, there's a ready-made city called the rock-hewn city of Petra. God says that won't be inhabited. And that's already built down there. All you'd have to do is move in a colony. But don't do it. It's been tried. A German unbeliever took down a colony, and they stayed there a while, but they're not there today because God said it wouldn't be inhabited. Well, this is the city we're looking at. Now we have here in the first 9 verses responsibility for the destruction of Tyre. Who's responsible? And here we find out it's divine, the Lord of hosts. Then there was a human responsibility for the destruction of Tyre. That was the Chaldeans. And then the interesting thing, Tyre is to be recovered in the last days. It is going to be rebuilt. And if you could rebuild it, we'd be in the last days. That's one of the places to look to tell where we are on the clock of God. Verse 1. We have here the burden of Tyre, the judgment of Tyre. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for it's laid waste, so that there's no house, no entering in. From the land of Chittim it is revealed to them. And now here come the ships from Tarshish. That's the place where Jonah fled. It was a colony of the Phoenicians. Now they're coming home from Tarshish. And as they get near, well, they get the word is brought to them. They see the smoke of the city. It's now destroyed. And these ships, the people on board, see a city that's now been leveled. The harbor's blocked. And no longer will it be a great commercial center. Verse 2, be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Sidon, up the coast about 30 miles, that pass over the sea of replenish. Tyre was partially built on an island, and Tyre and Sidon go together, just like pork and beans go together. And it's interesting that the prophecy concerning Tyre, which was one thing, has been fulfilled, that concerning Sidon is. It was to continue as a city. It's there today. That's where the oil is being brought and put on shipboard today. Now, verse 3, and by great waters the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is a revenue, and she's a mart of nations. Now, Sihor means black, and it refers to the upper Nile, the silt of which flooded Egypt, made it fertile. Now, the wealth of Egypt, you see, had flowed through the port of Tyre, and now that's ended. In other words, they're going to have a depression, and a real one. Verse 4, be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. There's a suggestion here that Tyre is the daughter of Sidon, and historically, of course, this is accurate. And verse 5, as at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Now, the destruction of Tyre ruins the commerce of Egypt in that day. And it says, pass ye over to Tarshish, howl ye inhabitants of the isle. In other words, the fall of Tyre caused universal mourning, even to the colony that's way over on the southern coast. And many of these people fled in ships when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city. Some escaped there. Verse 7, is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her far off to sojourn. Any great commercial center is a city where it's a fun center, too, because they have those things there to cater to the flesh. Now the Tyrians are urged to flee as far as possible because the joyous city, it's come to an end. And verse 8 says, who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are honorable of the earth. Now, the crowning city here really means the giver of crowns. You see, Tyre established these colonies. They were crown colonies. It doesn't mean Tyre was electing a rose queen, a cotton queen, an orange queen. They were not giving out crowns like that. Verse 9, the Lord of hosts hath purposed to stain the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. In other words, God says he was the one that determined the destruction of Tyre, and he offers no apologies for the arrangement he made. And therefore, he says, pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish, there is no more strength. And in other words, river here is the Nile. And as the Nile overflowed her banks, the colony of Tarshish is now free to do as she pleases. Tyre can no longer control them. Tyre is fallen. No more strength. That means that there's no girdle that holds them up. Now in verse 11, he has here, he stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. Have you noticed this threefold description of Tyre? In verse 7, it's called a joyous city. Verse 8, it's called a crowning city. And here in verse 11, it's called a merchant city. And all three were true of it. Verse 12, and he said, Thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. In other words, that both Tyre and Sidon would suffer the same things. And who's to destroy them? Well, God says he was responsible. He used an instrument. Verse 13, Behold the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. In other words, when Assyria was a great nation, Chaldea, that is Babylon, was just a hick town. But now it's ruling the world. And therefore, verse 14, Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, your strength is laid waste. How long will they be in captivity? Verse 15, It shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. That's how long. Now I drop down here to verse 17. It shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. She shall turn to her hire. She'll become again a great commercial center and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. She'll become a harlot in the world. And that's the way God speaks of these great commercial centers. Verse 18, A merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. Now we move down the ages, and we come to the last days and the time of the great tribulation. Tyre again will be a great city, and it will enter the millennium. Her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord. In other words, now it's all dedicated to the Lord. What a picture we have here. Now in chapter 24, we finish the judgment against the nations. It all is consummated and comes down to one focal point in the great tribulation at the end of the age after the church is removed. And we therefore need to keep in mind now the major divisions of Isaiah that we gave in the outline at the beginning. From chapters 1 to 35, the theme is judgment. Now we've been snowballing this from nation to nation. And it now comes down to the great tribulation period. And from chapters 13 to 23, we saw God's judgments upon the surrounding nation. Now from 24 through 35, this is a new section. We see judgment is still the theme, but the next few chapters of this section are entirely future. Both Dalich and Jennings consider it thoroughly eschatological. Some have labeled the next few chapters the little apocalypse, that is, like the book of Revelation. And I'm just going to hit high points here, by the way. We have the great tribulation as a worldwide judgment from God. Behold, verse 1, the Lord maketh the earth empty, maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Now, the word earth here can be considered, it's Eretz in the Hebrew. Some consider it just the land of Israel, other the whole earth. And I think that it actually is twofold. And it speaks of the earth, the judgment that is coming in the great tribulation. And God will judge not only the land of Israel, but the entire world during that period. Now, in verses 13 through 15, the tribulation saints are preserved through the great tribulation period, by the way. And we have this, that in the midst of the land, among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. They'll lift up their voice, and they shall cry aloud, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. In other words, the remnant will be small. They'll lift up their voice to glorify God. What a picture we have here. I'm going to leave off at this particular juncture. We'll pick up there next time and then continue to move through this book. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, we heard Isaiah's dire prophecy for those who reject God and the coming time of tribulation, and there's no doubt the countdown clock continues to tick down to that day. And it's all the more reason that we need to move ahead on the opportunities that God gives us to get his word to people all around the world, especially those who have yet to hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you want to partner with us in this endeavor by maybe providing a tank of gas or an oil change for the Bible bus, visit ttb.org/give or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Next time, we continue to scale the heights of the book of Isaiah. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole word to the whole world.